What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
On the fan. And I already see in the comments on the new YouTube live chat, they're wondering if I'm going to sing, and I'm not happy. But I'm not going to be here for a while. It's the last chance I'll have to sing. No one's happy. Make no mistake about it. No one is happy in this miserable baseball town that we live in. How we doing? 12:03, McMonagle here with you for a 5-hour midnight ride. We got Connor still back there. Big Zoo will make his way in here. And we got you for 5 hours taking your calls at 888-808-1019 here on The Fan. As the New York Mets continue, step up Ryan Helsley. That's your turn today. It's been the starting pitching for a week. It's been the offense for 2 months. It's Ryan Helsley tonight. As the Mets do what bad teams do. I know it's cliche. I know. But it's a cliche for a reason. Bad teams find ways to lose. I tweeted it Saturday. Amazingly enough, the Yankees came back and won the game. But I tweeted it Saturday about the New York Yankees. And it goes for the New York Mets too right now. It's going to be an at-bat, or it's going to be a bad pitch, or it's going to be a defensive play. It is going to be something. They are going to find a way to lose a game. And to have the Atlanta Braves, the dead Atlanta Braves, as even Keith Hernandez said this at the end of the game, to have the dead Atlanta Braves walk into that building, take 2 of 3, manage to come back on the opening game. Pete hits the home run. Ooh, look at that coming up. Pete hits the home run. They take a 5-1 lead. Atlanta storms back, then gets their ass kicked the rest of the game. It's a celebration for the Mets and the Met fans. And then the next 2 nights, whether it's the 6-0 and lousy performance from Peterson, where they had a 6-0 lead. We went over it yesterday. I was on last night. And then you look at this game, where you finally get the starting performance you're looking for. That's what's frustrating about this. You got everything you wanted. You jump out to a 6-0 lead on Wednesday. You get everything you want on Thursday. You get Kodai Senga to go deep into the game. He was throwing his fastball at like 96. He looked good. He wasn't, you know, you'd like him to go deeper. But, you know, to go 5 2/3 and give up 2 runs, that's all you're looking for. They bring in Rodgers, and obviously Rodgers and this bullpen, right? The trade deadline, they go get Rodgers, they go get Helsley. We're all praising them. We're praising Stearns and what he was able to do at the deadline, and what a coup. And now the back three end of that bullpen between Rodgers and Helsley and obviously Diaz is going to be unstoppable. That's as good a bullpen as soon as that trade deadline is made. We're talking about really both teams, but let's focus on the Mets for a second. Like, oh, man, is there another better bullpen in baseball? I mean, I know the Padres have a great bullpen, but really that three-headed monster, the two closers and Rodgers that the Mets are going to roll out. And to have this team, Rodgers comes in, he gives up the base hit to tie the game at 2, and then the offense comes right back. Right? The offense comes right back. You get the lead. You get Lindor, who's starting to break out of his slump. You get the walk from Soto. You get the fly ball from... You get the fly ball from Nimmo. And then Soto steals a base. You get the big clutch hit from Pete, a base hit you've been clamoring for. That this offense, as we talk about them struggling with runners in scoring position, and we'll get more into Juan Soto, but Pete gives you the big base hit to take the lead, and you figure that's all you need. In comes the bullpen, in comes Ryan Helsley, and he is awful. And he has been awful as a New York Met. And yes, we'll talk about whether he should have the intro taken away and everything else. But man, oh man, to get the start, like, we've talked about the starting pitching and how bad it's been and how unable they've been going to get deep into the games. Right? That has been their issue for forever. They haven't been able to get deep into the games. We've seen it for the last 2 weeks. They got kids coming up over the weekend, and God help them. But they are desperate to get innings. You get it. For months, desperate to get that big clutch hit. Desperate to come through. Once the game is lost, once that momentum changes, once you get out to that early lead and then it falters, that's it. The Mets don't come back. They don't show you the fight. We've been talking about that for forever. And right back after blowing the lead, right back out there with stolen bases and aggressive base running, you get the clutch sack fly, you get the big two-out hit from Pete Alonso to give you the lead, you get everything you've been clamoring for over the last 2 months. You get a pitcher to go into the sixth, you get the big clutch hit, you have the lead late to go to your bullpen, and Ryan Helsley, who has been awful as a New York Met, whose fastball is being hit at ridiculous levels. Tonight it was his slider. He's supposed to be dominant this year against left-handed hitters with his slider. They're clobbering it. He gives up the ball off the wall. He can't. It's not even that he just blows the game. Fine. Then he gives them the lead with the ball off the wall. And we'll get into Soto and deking him and why isn't he hitting the cutoff man. It's just everything. They are going to find ways to lose. This team is so maddening to watch, both of these teams. But to watch this team do what it does against a dead Atlanta Braves team as they're desperate for wins. Two out of the last 15 games. They just had a 7-game win streak. They turned it into two of their next 15. And it's every which way. And what's frustrating about this one in particular for me is that the two main questions you felt were answered. You got the starting pitching. It's not a virtuoso performance. It's not one that you would call ace-like. He didn't dominate the Atlanta Braves, but he pitched you into the sixth. He gives up the one run. Rogers comes in, supposed to be another guy that, you know, they brought in a part of this trade deadline coup. He comes in, gives up soft contact, which is what he does. And we could talk, Yankee fans can tell you about soft contact and Clay Holmes. Soft contact, little looping base hit that ties the game, and the Mets offense right back at it. For weeks, they score early, then they do nothing. They score early, the pitching gives up the lead, never see the offense again. That has been the MO of this team for the last month. And they get the starting pitching, then they get the offense to come right back and take the lead again, and then Helsley blows the game. Like, and then in the ninth, forget about him. We'll get to the eighth with Juan Soto, who, again, I already had this conversation last night about Juan Soto. This series, last night at bat, tonight's at bat in the eighth inning, they are the perfect description of what Juan Soto has been all year. Like, these two at bats are exactly what the problem is with Juan Soto this entire season. He had a good series. Right? I think he had 3 hits and 3 walks. He's on base 6 times in the 3 games. He hits the home run the other day to help them build that 6-0 lead. He steals the base that sets up the base hit from Alonso to give the lead. That's a big stolen base. He doesn't run. Like, we talk about what we did see and what we didn't see as Yankee fans last year in every at-bat of Juan Soto and what he did with the Nationals and Padres. And we talk about what we did see in the clutch hitting and what we haven't seen with the Mets. He makes a really good defensive play to deke Harris at second base, but then he throws to the wrong base after. Instead of hitting the cutoff man, he goes right to second. He's stealing bases, which he never did with the Yankees last year. He steals a big base to get into scoring position. It leads to the big run that takes the lead. Boom. Juan Soto is one of the better players that the Mets had this weekend. These 3 days. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And yet, in the eighth inning, after Lindor gets the infield single, when you need the base hit, you need him to come through. Hell, you'll take a walk there, right? You need him to get on base. You need him to be a part of that rally in the eighth inning, and he strikes out on three pitches. That is who Juan Soto has been for the New York Mets this year. Plain and simple. That is a microcosm of everything that has been the problem with Juan Soto. He has a good series. He's one of the better offensive players on the team. But when it comes to those impact moments, he isn't there. And I can tell already. Mendoza, this is what happens when you lose. Here comes all the blame for the manager. Here comes, I can't tell you stand to listen to him in the postgame. Again, oh, he's a Boone clone. Who's good in these losing postgame press conferences? What do you want to hear? Whatever he hears, if he says something that you like, you'll go, oh, yeah, means nothing. If he says something you don't like, my God, I can't listen to this guy anymore. They've lost they're 2-13 in their last 15 games. What do you want him to say? What's he going to say that you're going to be like, you know what? Yeah, that's my manager. They're awful. Their starting rotation can't throw strikes. And when they do, they don't hit. And when they do, the bullpen blows it. Like, it's just, I don't know how this team has fallen from one of the best teams in baseball. In the middle of June, June 13th, the infamous day for both of these teams. How they have fallen to a team that doesn't know how to win. Plain and simple, that's who they are. For a team that was 11 games under 500 last year, with the same manager, by the way. 11 games under 500 last year, who had the team meeting, moved Lindor to leadoff, and sparked them along with, you know, Grimace and OMG and everything else, sparked them to the best record in baseball from that Arizona series on. Found a way to win in Atlanta, doubleheader, to get into the postseason. Found a way to beat the Phillies. Found a way down to their final two outs against what was then, imagine, amazingly enough, the best closer in baseball or the best reliever in baseball in Devin Williams. You found a way down to your final two outs to get the big home run and win that series. Then you beat Philadelphia. This Met team found a way to win every big game last year. And they have forgotten how to win. I don't know how it happens. It's one of these things in sports that it's what makes it so interesting. It's what makes it so compelling. It's what makes it all of us addicted to it and want to turn on our televisions every night, because you never know what you're going to see. And the collapse of this Met team from a team that made that run last year, that changed the dynamic of the New York sports landscape by bringing in Juan Soto and signing him to that contract, to starting off the year as one of the best teams in baseball, building a 5-game division lead, to falling on their face, to being under 500 since the end of May, to not knowing how to win. You can feel it. The Atlanta Braves are dead. They're throwing Cookie Carrasco. Elder has had a miserable year. He shuts them down for the most part and has a good performance. They bring in one of the better closers over the last couple years in Helsley, who strikes people out, who throws 100 miles an hour. His numbers off his fastball in his career are fantastic. He's getting pounded. This is not the first game. Ryan Helsley has been a disaster. The trade deadline for both of these teams has been a disaster. Mullins has hardly done anything. Rodgers has been okay, but I can think of two or three big impact hits that he's given up that have helped them lose, including last night. And Ryan Helsley has been garbage. How did this happen? And you could tell me the manager, and you could tell me Stearns and the way he builds the rotation, and I'll agree with all of it. But it's hard to pinpoint exactly what happened to this team. But last night, it's easy. Ryan Helsley blew the game. The last couple games, the starting pitching hasn't been there. The offense scores early and then goes to sleep. It's the same. If it's not one of those three are going to find a way to beat you. One of those three are going to find a way to blow a 5-run lead, to blow a 5-1 lead, to blow a 6-0 lead, to blow a 3-2 lead. They're going to find ways to do it on a nightly basis. It is hard to fathom what this team looks like now. And they are a half a game out. And I'll tell you this, and we'll get to it. 888-808-1019. I know Evan and Sean tried to redo the voodoo that they do. And that's right. You know, the voodoo that you do, it's a song. You know. They tried to undo their disastrous mid-June conversation about who's better by doing who's worse. I don't know who's worse. We'll get into it. I'll give you my opinion on who's worse. But I can tell you right now that both of these teams have no idea how to win. Both of these teams had a deadline that we all loved that has blown up in their face. Both of these teams had expectations heading into the season. Both of these teams got off to good starts. Both of these teams are so freaking similar, it's scary. Both managers are now being, you know, he was on the staff, so both managers are being compared. Like, it's crazy how our New York baseball season has all fallen apart in one collective swoop. Like, I have no idea how to explain it. But it's easy to see. It's easy to see. The Mets don't know how to win. They are going to do something to lose the game. It is the definition of what bad teams do. It's cliched for a reason. It's the definition of what bad teams do. And now they are a half a game up, over the Cincinnati Reds. And I'll tell you this, I think the Reds are a hell of a lot better than the Cleveland Guardians. You want to talk about which team has a better chance to make the playoffs? I think the Reds are a legitimate team. Cleveland traded away some people. Their closer is being, you know, under the scrutiny of cheating and gambling. Like, they've been hot, but I don't trust Cleveland. The Reds are good. The Reds have pretty good starting pitching. The Reds have a manager who's won championships and has been there. They're a half a game up from being out of the playoffs. It is one of the harder things to fathom. And Met fans, I feel for you to be at these games this week, to experience Pete Alonso, watch him hit that home run, the frustration of damn near blowing the game, but coming through and feeling like leaving that building, this is the night. This is the night where we start to build back into the team that can be a threat inside the National League and to be a World Series champion. Tonight is the night. Two innings into the next day, you're up 6-0. Cookie Carrasco on the mound. David Peterson, the one guy you trust to give you some depth, is on the mound. And you feel like, here we go. And from that fourth inning on last night, or two nights ago now, it is a sickening feeling for a Met fan who had to sit through rain delays, hung around for Pete Alonso ceremonies, only to watch a dead Atlanta Braves team who has crushed you for forever come into your building, beat you 2 out of 3, and feel like they have robbed every ounce of momentum before they welcome in the Seattle Mariners. Like, just every ounce of possible momentum. It is hard.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
To imagine that we have gotten here. 888 888-1019. But we'll get into the specifics of the game. We'll get into Juan Soto throwing to the wrong base after a really good deke. At least that's how it looked. We'll get into this bullpen. Ryan Helsley. Should they stop introducing him with Hell's Bells? Who is worse, the Yankees or the Mets? We'll get into all of it. We'll have some fun. We'll get into some football later in the show. Maybe we'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on a five-hour midnight ride. This will take you all the way to 5 a.m. We obviously have the new edition of the live chat because I'm stupid. I forgot to bring my laptop. So I'm just going to be watching with the rest of you. Maybe I'll communicate through the chat a little bit, answer your questions. So if you want to go to the WFAN YouTube page, the overnight live chat, you can see me there. You can make some comments. We could hang out during the break a little bit. Like I said, I forgot my laptop, so we're going to try and navigate it the best we can from the phone. Yeah.
But also call in.
Well, obviously, yes, call in. 888-808-1019. That's, you got to call in. No doubt. 888-808-1019. That's the number to do so. We got Big Zoo on the other side, and we'll be taking your calls all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning, five-hour midnight ride right here on The Fan. I can tell the chat's going to be this live show is going to be fun on YouTube. I'm already having fun. I forgot my laptop like a dope. And by the way, I'm going to do one and then be gone for 2 weeks. So I'm going on vacation. That's part of why he played Sinatra, playing Italian artists, the music theme tonight. But I do want to mix in some Beatles before I go as well. So, but yeah, I'm doing tonight and then I'm doing tomorrow and then I'm gone for 2 weeks on a family trip to Italy. Should be fun. I'm going to Sicily. Looking forward to it. Get away from these teams for a little bit, but I'll put out some videos and ride along with the Yankees and Mets as best I can. But the chat's going to be fun. I was trying to tell you guys, because I forgot my laptop and I'm unable to toggle between the live chat and then the screen that says we're in commercial break, I had Zoo write up a piece of paper that said we're in commercial break that I'd put up, but it was in pen and not like dark marker. You could barely read it. So
we'll find the Sharpie.
We'll find some way. We'll have some fun. We'll have some fun with the chat. Why, and the video. Why not? Let's have some fun. Let's try and forget about our miserable teams. And look, I don't want to call the season dead. I know that's easy. I can come on here and I can scream and I can yell and I can tell you the Mets are done and I can have a real strong opinion on it. And I can come in here and give you sports radio real strong opinion. Hey, stink. And this season's over. And there's no way they're coming back from this. I don't know. I don't look at the Reds as better than them. And it feels like it's a competition between them and the Reds. Forget the division. You want to win the division. And I'm not even saying the division's over. But I'm not even interested in the division. Not after losing 13 out of 15. I'm interested in making the playoffs. Because I am a firm believer in get in, get hot. I don't think it's crazy. So I got to get in. So for the Mets, it is a competition with the Cincinnati Reds. Are they good enough to outplay the Cincinnati Reds by a game the rest of the way? I think so. Will they? I don't have a lot of confidence in them, but I still think they can. And it's hard to imagine they've gotten this bad. And it's hard to imagine Ryan Helsley has been this bad. The trade deadline has been a disaster. Mullins has hardly done anything. And neither reliever has really distinguished himself. Rogers has been better than Helsley, but Helsley has done nothing. Helsley's been terrible, and Rogers really hasn't done nothing. He's part of the problem. He came in and gave up a soft contact hit. Juan Soto is anything but clutch, which is hard to believe. And this offense isn't nearly as good as it should be. It's puzzling, but like I still can't call it over. It's not over. And it's not Mendoza's fault. It's hard to, we all praised Mendoza for what he did last year, carrying them from 11 games under. And maybe I should call the season over, because as Fliegelman would love to play, and Zoo, I wish I could tell you exactly where it is. You could look for it. Fliegelman loves to play it. I called them dead last year. I called them dead after losing the second game of the Arizona series. They had the meeting. They came out. They pounded the Diamondbacks the first game of that series. And then they blew a lead or something and lost the last two games of that Arizona series. And I said, that's it. If they can't build off the momentum of the meeting and that first win and they lose these next two, that's it. The Mets are dead. And then they didn't lose again all the way until the NLCS. So maybe I should call them dead and spark this team. Because it's hard to fathom how bad they have been. It is. And this and what you need is what you, and what's frustrating about last night. And I was listening to a little bit of the Rico Bronya as I was driving in, and I agree with Evan, and I tend to agree with Evan a lot. When it comes to baseball, at least. The loss the other night is worse. Blowing a 6-0 lead. That's worse. It's a worse loss. It's a more, how the hell is possible? You know, David Peterson let them down. It's a worse loss. But what last night sucks is, one, you lose the series, obvious, first and foremost. But you got what you needed. You needed someone to step up and give you a good start. And Senga did it. It's not a great start. It's a good start. It's just a good, solid start. 5 2/3, one run, and then he ends up being two, and Rogers gives up the second run. That's a good start. It's a good start. He's an out away from having it being a quality start. I'm not throwing a parade for it, but it's a good, solid start. And then you need the offense to come back once the game, the momentum of the game switches. The offense hasn't been able to do that, and they come back right away. And it's good aggressive base running, and it's small ball with the sacrifice fly, and then it's a big two-out clutch hit from Alonso. Like, and it's turn the game over to the bullpen, and here we go. And it's still not good enough. That's what's frustrating about last night. It feels like the things that have really caused the issues over the last month were there last night, and that's still not good. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. My guy Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
There he is. What's going on?
C-Mac? What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. Listen, have a safe and a great trip.
Thank you very much.
Did Rami save you a couple donuts the other morning?
I had one. I had the creme brulee. Thank you very much. They were delicious. Very kind of you.
Good.
Yep.
Did you grab any
thank
fruit?
You.
That fruit's good, too.
The fruit,
good,
yep.
Good.
I had some fruit before I left, before I got in the car. So thank you very much. Very nice of you.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it. I told him to save you some stuff. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So let's get into them. A couple quick points before I get into bashing the Mets. I don't know if you remember. Well, first of all, I told Al at the beginning of the season, right before, before the season even started, the Mets are going to win 86 games and miss the playoffs. Before the season even started.
Well, what made you think so that?
I told you.
Just the feeling of curse?
No. The feeling of, like, all these guys, the pitching, like, I never liked the pitching light number one. Yeah. I didn't like the Soto signing because I didn't think that he was going to fit in with the team. I didn't think that we did enough to upgrade other positions, as well as I had question marks at third base, catcher, second base, center field. And we got worse at center field. So that, and Nimmo. So we really got better at one position in the lineup. And then with Alonso and everybody else, we were either status quo, worse, or question mark. So that's the reason why I didn't think we were going to be as good as people were predicting. But another thing, so I don't know if you remember my call. So I called you right around probably within the first month of the season. And I said, C-Mac, I really think that the Mets are going to have to win their division because I think there's going to be more wild card teams out of the West and the Central. And it was like towards like when you were like ready to hang up and then you're like laughing at me afterwards because I hate the Central thinks. But mm-hmm. the Reds and stuff like that, they're good. They're a good team. I was actually right. Well, they have good teams. The Brewers, the Reds are a good team.
They're not a bad team. I don't disagree with you. And I actually bet them to win the division this year because I thought Terry Francona and a young upstart team. Like I like them. But let's be honest. Like they're having a nice little season. They're like six games. They're 5 or 6 games over 500. Let's not make them out to be like that. Shouldn't be the wild card though.
Now.
But that's what I'm saying. That shouldn't be the wild card.
I know. I agree with you with that. They and then the problem, like what it comes down to me right now is, so if you look at the Mets team from the beginning of the season, Al even asked when they were 22 games over 500, are you going to change the 86? I said no, because if you look at any team, you could only have pitchers that pitch four innings for so long. I don't care if you get 13 other, or you have guys that come from AAA up and down and up and down in the bullpen. They're going to get burnt out. The more you see these guys in the bullpen in the series, they're going to get crushed. And it's exactly what happened. The pitching staff stinks. The hitters aren't hitting with runners in scoring position. And even you and I spoke that night with Helsley, right? I said, yeah, he's been up and down a little bit. I said, the only problem with him is he's got a high whip. And that means they're going to be runners.
No, I know. I hear you, Mike. And thank you for the call. You're right. Listen, Helsley's not been good. That is a very frustrating for both teams. The trade deadline, man, unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, Helsley hasn't been good. He comes into this game clean inning lead. I mean, just not good enough. And the fastball's being hit, and he's leaving breaking balls over the middle of the plate. And again, the Juan Soto thing. What's frustrating about the Juan Soto thing, and Keith said it, like, you can't deke, first of all, and like, as an outfielder, you know, like, you have a chance that the runner at second was deked by what you did. The guy running, he's got a double. You're not going to throw him out at second base. You have got to hit the cutoff man. Where are you going? You're going straight to second for what? You got no shot of throwing out Albies. You got to throw it to the cutoff man and give yourself a chance of maybe making a play at the plate. You did deke it in hopes of that. Like, that's what I don't understand. Why would you do the deke and then not hit the cutoff man? You're not trying to deke the batter after to try not to run hard. Like, you're trying to deke the guy at second, see if he can get a slow step for him. And you did. And then you don't hit the cutoff man. We've seen the bad defense hasn't been that much of a problem. They've actually run the bases really well. I think I heard Evan say it's like a franchise record now, 39, 40 straight stolen bases without being thrown out. They do a good job controlling the other team's run game, and they do a good job running the bases. Besides that, like, we've seen defense hurt them. We've seen the bullpen kill them. We've seen the starting rotation kill them. We've seen the offense kill them. Like, they haven't been able to put together a consistent good game of baseball in forever. It's scary how identical these two teams are. It really is. It's scary. Phil in Sheepshead Bay, what's up, Phil? Phil, you gotta lower the radio. Phil. Hold on. Phil. Phil. I'm going to give Phil a chance. I know he's going to hear it. Here we go. Watch. Here we go. Forever. You heard me say forever. Here comes Phil. Wait, you're going to hear him pick up the phone? No?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Phil? All right. I can only play this game. Here we go.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Listen,
Phil, one second before we start. You got to do me a favor, okay?
Yeah.
The next time you call, you got to listen through your phone, not the radio. I've been screaming Phil for 10 minutes.
Hello? Okay. Probably I'm half asleep. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, you're listening to the radio, but it's okay. Try and listen through your phone.
Okay.
Okay. Now what do you got?
Okay. Here's my main point. I've been a Met fan since 1962.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the days you would expect when they pick from a lottery. Bobby Landreth, Mark Thornberry, the guys who were on the way out. The Mets took them. Even Richie Ashburn at that time was still playing well. And they sort of formed a team what was supposed to be the colors of the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers, which I went to Ebbets Field, and I followed for quite a long time. I used to go like 12, 15 games a year. Now, the costs are prohibitive. Anyway, mm-hmm. to make a long story short,
mm-hmm.
those guys were on their way out. What's the excuse for all these guys in the prime of their career where they can't come up? I look at Soto. Looks like walking in his sleep when he chases balls in the outfield.
Yeah.
And he seems to, like, lose focus.
I don't know what it is, Phil, and thank you for the call. It's not that he's playing poorly. Like, if you look at Juan Soto's numbers, he's having a down year. Like, it's not a great, it's not a typical great Juan Soto year. It's not last year Juan Soto, but it's a good quality season. And even in this series, again, he's on base six times in the series. He gets the home run. He drove in a couple runs. Like, he steals the base that helps give them the lead with the pinch hit from, with the clutch hit from Pete. Like, he played well in the series. I thought he made a good defensive play to deke him out. Now, I don't know if you throw Harris out at the plate. I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But he made a good deke to fake him and then didn't hit the cutoff man, which is frustrating. But again, last night, two men on, down three runs, an opportunity to do some damage, and he leaves the strike zone. He battles back from being down 0-2. And then the thing that's frustrating is he leaves the strike zone and falls down to the ground. Like, he's swinging like Babe Ruth. That is not Juan Soto's game. Right? Some people wanted it to be Juan Soto's game in previous years. Don't just let the next guy do it. You're Juan Soto. Drive the baseball. Don't take the strike. Don't be so beholden to the strike zone. Go swing and be the guy who drives in the run, not sets up the run. Like, that was the critique of Juan Soto last year and other years. And now he's swinging from his heels on a 3-2 slider for four or five inches up out of the strike zone. That is not Juan Soto. And then last night, down a run in the eighth inning after blowing the game, Lindor on first base on three pitches. They went right after him. Strikeout on three pitches. And then the ninth, what'd they throw, a total of six pitches in the ninth? Pete Alonso, real quick, and then obviously Mullins to end the game. And Mullins hasn't been good. I don't blame him last night. I saw a couple people getting... I don't think... That ball was slicing away from him. That's a tough play. Ryan Helsley's just leaving sliders in the middle of the zone. And it's hard to put your finger on what the issue is with this team. The question is, can they figure out a way to rebound? How does this team, because there's no, like, how many kids are you going to bring up? And I understand it. The question, like, I saw a bunch of people commenting on my, the story they put out of me talking about how I was critical at the start of the year. Like, the stories are always a little misleading, the headlines to those stories, because I made a very comprehensive argument about how good they've been at this and how they shut my mouth. And how even, like, I wanted them to sign a big-time starting pitcher. And let's be honest, Max Fried has had overall a positive year. He's been bad for a month, but he's had a positive year. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of great starting pitchers. Snell's been hurt. Corbin Burns is gone for forever with Tommy John. He's gone for 2 years probably. So, like, I get it. I get it. I get why they don't want to sign the contract. But tell me right now, what would benefit the Mets more than having a steady ace? Like, that's, everyone was talking about it today. I was talking about it last night. You need that guy that you feel good about on the mound at least once every fifth game. You just need him. You need him. They don't have him. This is what you saw last night. 5 2/3, two runs. That's as close to an ace as they have. And I hear, I see like a bunch of people tell me, well, they're waiting. You don't understand, Chris. They're not going out and signing long-term contracts because they're waiting for the kids to come up. That's the point. You got these pitching prospects. Yeah, like, they're all going to hit. Like, that's never been a problem. Like, Mets, they've always had these, Thor comes up and he's great for forever. Like, obviously DeGrom hitting is one of the better pitchers we've ever seen and won two Cy Youngs. But we've seen guys come up. Like, you can't count on the idea that every single pitcher you bring from the farm. Like, do you honestly think right now that Sproat, that McClain, and that Tong are all going to come up and be excellent starting pitchers that are going to carry your starting staff? Like, good luck with that. Maybe. Maybe just one hits. And that's what typically happens. Like, you get one, maybe two if you're lucky, that hit and our mainstays in your rotation and sign another contract. Like, it's rare. You're going to have to go out there and bring in talent at the pitching. On some level, you have to trust someone with some money. And this pitching staff is just not good enough. They want to put all their money into players, and I get it. They want to put all their money into hitters. I get it. I do. It makes sense on paper. But in practice, it's hard to continually do this. And it just feels like that kind of has been, as much as it's the offense, and I've been screaming for weeks that the offense isn't good enough and it's supposed to be the driving force of the team, it really feels like the pitching staff and the overworking of the bullpen because they can't go more than four or five innings has really just been something that's weighing down this team. It really just feels that way. And, I mean, right now, whether it's you want to blame Mendoza, which, again, please stop. Can I just say, and we'll get into Boone a little bit later, too, as we'll get into the Yankee talk as they get ready to start a series in St. Louis. Like, stop blaming Mendoza. Like, this isn't Mendoza's fault. Mendoza's the same manager that dragged that team from 11 games under 500 to the NLCS. Like, there's issues. And I said it last night, to be fair. I said, you want to know what the manager's like? See how the team responds the next day. And I don't know. In some ways, they responded. They got the starting pitching. When the lead was blown, they got it right back. And then one of their best, the guys they traded for to help them get, the final outs of the games, blew the game. Like, I don't know how to take last night. I don't think last night was a lifeless performance. I don't think last night was a grittyless performance. They've got no grit. They've got no toughness. They've got no this. They've got no that. Oh, and by the way, it's analytics' fault. And it's the manager's fault. These are all the things we love to say when a team loses. Now, they didn't score a ton of runs, but they battled back. They could have still scored another run in the eighth or ninth. I grant you that. They didn't. But they had that game won. They got the good pitching performance. Like, they did battle back. The managers made a couple of dumb decisions. I don't know how you don't pinch run for Marte in that series against Milwaukee, and he gets thrown out to end the game. I don't know how you let Clay Holmes face Olsen in that spot that blows the lead. They end up winning that game anyway. Like, there are a couple things. All managers have them. But the idea that it's like he's some terrible manager, like, he's the same guy who took them to the NLCS last year when no one expected it, when the team wasn't good enough to get there. We're so quick to blame the manager. It's obnoxious. But right now, he's not free. He's not absent of blame. You know, he's not free of blame. He's done a terrible job. Everyone associated with the team has done a terrible job. I mean, their season's on the line. They're 2-13. They go on a 7-game win streak and immediately fall on their face in San Diego, and it let them break them in many ways. It's crazy.
I mean, bro, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think the one thing that, I mean, the pitching has been atrocious. So let's not get that wrong.
No,
the starting pitching is a pathetic, it's a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this team has the lineup that it does, at least top-heavy-wise, and they are performing the way they are, night in, night out. And I know they exploded both Tuesday night and early on last night, two nights ago.
Yeah.
But that's not enough. You have to win these games. You have to continue to pile on. When you're a team that sees your pitching is off and you have Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor,
mm-hmm.
and we've been saying this all year, and I know you've been pounding this drum.
Yeah.
But this is more so than ever. This is when these guys got to step up, and they are failing miserably, falling on their face. And, I mean, if they don't make the playoffs this year, and we are putting the bar low with them making the playoffs, just so that we can have a time in this franchise's history where we legitimately make the playoffs 2 years in a row, not a weird one-game wild card game, or it happened 40 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever it was. I mean, this is a team that needs to actually step up in Steve Cohen's era, because winning a championship in 5 years, yeah, maybe that's a little shooting for the stars. But you can at least make the playoffs twice over the course of that 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And if they fail to do that this year with the roster they have and the money they invested and the trades they made at the deadline, I mean, that is pathetic.
It's pathetic, but at least you can point to, Yankee fans can point to, well, if they don't make the playoffs, fire Boone and Cashman. You're not going to fire David Stearns.
No, you're not going to fire.
You're not going to fire anybody. So, like, Like,
you're not going to fire anybody in the front office or the manager.
And you know what? No, I don't think you would. And here's a good question for you at 888-808-1019. We'll get into both because I thought, you know, Evan and Marash were talking about it today in the afternoon show. Which team is worse? Who's worse, the New York Yankees or the New York Mets? And here's the other question. Which team would it be more embarrassing for to not make the playoffs? Would it be more embarrassing for the New York Mets to not make the playoffs, or would it be more embarrassing for the New York Yankees to not make the playoffs? It's an interesting question. We'll try and answer it for you when we come back. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back, take you to the top of the hour. Or actually, no, we'll probably take it to the hour. I don't know. I'm trying to look at see if there's any comments here on the chat. My Little League coach is tougher than Aaron Boone. Sure he is. Yankees missed the playoffs. That would be 2 out of 3 years. I don't know. This Met team, they signed Juan Soto. Changed the who's the big brother in town. By the way, I got to say, I hate to be so vain, but I'm not above it. I talk about how I was Athlete of the Year. The difference in watching me on this video, I hope everyone's watching, because I'm not trying to say I'm not heavy, but at least I look like a normal-faced person. The up-close videos they put out of me on social media, it's like, good grief. Could you put out a shot that doesn't have my entire face taking up the entire screen? Like, what's the matter with this camera angle? I know we have it. We're using it. Man. But we'll talk about it. I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. It would be pretty freaking embarrassing for the New York Mets not to make the playoffs this year. The run to the NLCS, adding Juan Soto, bringing back Pete. They have a higher payroll than the New York Yankees. If you're going to go strictly on payroll, higher payroll than the New York Yankees. Yes, the Yankees would miss the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years. They've hardly missed the playoffs in 30 years. You can count on one hand the amount of times the Mets have put back-to-back playoff seasons together. Does that make it more embarrassing or less embarrassing? Neither team can miss the playoffs. A half a game up for the final wild card spot. That is wild. It is wild how we have fallen. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 1 hour down. 4 more to go. In our 5-hour midnight ride, as we take you all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show, McMonagle here with you, 888-808-1019. Your calls coming up over the next 4 hours right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.